The arts, they're an important part of what makes us human, makes us happy, makes life worth living. How strongly, though, are they supported in our state's education? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's Iowa Week. All this week on our talk shows, we're exploring many facets of artistic Iowa. And this hour, we want to support, explore art education and the support for it in the state. In the second half hour, we'll focus on efforts to add arts education to the Iowa core curriculum. That coming up in our second half hour. But before that, so we want to find out about Art Force Iowa, which seeks to offer the most at-risk youth in our communities a supportive environment where art plays a big part. Joining us to talk about that, Yvette Zarode-Herman is Program Director for Art Force in Iowa in our Des Moines studio. Yvette, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hello.
And John Mark in the studio with Yvette, Executive Director for Arts Force Iowa. John, welcome to you.
Thanks, Ben.
And you brought along one of the students taking part. DJ is with you as well. Hi, DJ.
Hi, Ben.
I want to reach out to our listeners this entire hour and ask you, do you think the arts get enough support and attention in your area, in your school district? 1-866-780-9100. Perhaps you have an anecdote, a story of how arts education, something in your elementary, middle school, or high school, changed your life. 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook or tweet us at IPR Talk. Let me talk with you, ask you first of all, Tom Mark, because for many of our listeners, I'm sure Art Force Iowa is a new name. Tell us, what is Art Force Iowa? What's your mission?
Art Force Iowa, our mission is to transform youth in need through art. And we are pretty new to the community. We've been here since about 2012, so we're going on 4 years right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, talk a little bit more about your vision. How do you carry that out?
Well, basically, you know, we consider ourselves to be Des Moines Arts Outreach Organization. There are a lot of youth in our community that need extra support, and we seek to provide transformative experiences for those youth through the arts, performance, visual, and media arts. And we do that to specific target demographics, including youth who are juvenile court involved, immigrant and refugee youth, and even young adults who have criminal backgrounds that are struggling to find work.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I think I gave you the wrong first name. You're John Mark, not Tom Mark.
That's
right. Excuse me. And about how many kids do you deal with?
Well, this year we're looking at working with about 150 youth in a year. And then in our, Street Cred Studios is our social enterprise that does screen printing. We serve about 10 to 20 kids a year in that program as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is in the Des Moines area?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you select your kids, John?
Well, the youth come to us through referrals. So our program that serves juvenile court youth, juvenile court officers, judges, lawyers, social services providers that work with them refer kids to us who are interested in the arts and need that extra support. And our most recent program for immigrant and refugee youth has a similar setup. We're looking forward to getting referrals from schools, from counselors, from people who are working with that community and know that there are certain youth who need that extra support. Referral base allows us to not just focus on opening the doors wide, but figuring out who needs our support the most in the community and serving those youth as fully as possible.
Mm-hmm. We want to focus in greater depth on that refugee program that's new to Art Force Iowa a little bit later. But let's talk with DJ. You've worked with Art Force Iowa. When was your first contact with Art Force Iowa, DJ?
The first time I was at Art Force has probably been about a year now, about last September.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the circumstances of your life that you led you to Art Force Iowa. A bumpy road there.
Not really. I just made one mistake, and it was just one of those things that kind of needed some help with, and I love doing art, so I was like, I took the opportunity in the program because it helps me express myself through art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so what types of things were you expressing? What forms of art did you choose?
Creative writing and guitar.
Creative writing and guitar. What sort of things did you write about? Have you written about?
Yvette has, like, this mason jar full of random words that we usually just randomly pick out and, like, make sentences or make poems into or, like, find something in our life that we can relate to it.
Mm-hmm. Had you found in maybe the public school system that was lacking something that you found here that you could connect with that previously you hadn't found?
More of the guitar lessons, because public school doesn't really teach you that kind of stuff. And with all that, it's more of it's based on, like, it's kind of like a family aspect. Like, you can get to know everyone at Art Force really well, and, you know, you can be more comfortable in that environment.
Mm-hmm. So give me the scene. So, DJ, you're there. You just started playing guitar last September when you started with Art Force?
Yep.
And what songs can you play?
Nothing yet. I can play chords really good.
Uh-huh. Do you sing along as well? I mean, is there a group there? Should we imagine you kind of around a campfire, even though you're indoors?
Sort of, kind of. But more, it's based off of, like, what we can do during the week. I work almost full-time that with school, so I don't get much time to practice, but when I do, I'm pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yvette, tell us a little bit about, for you as a program director for Art Force. So DJ comes in, and not just DJ, but any student comes to your program. What are you looking for? How do you evaluate the students who come through the door?
Oh, we just get to know them. We start off with, what's your passion? What's your art form? If they're not sure, we put everything that we can in front of them. We've had a youth who asked for a violin teacher, so we scoured the community to try to find that person. So we really listen to what they're interested in and try to help them find good matches in art forms and in artist mentors.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little more about the creative writing and picking these words out. How do you turn that on in a young person?
I need to not take credit for that.
Okay.
That was during a creative writing workshop. One particular young woman just didn't feel like writing, but she wanted words. So she wrote down maybe 500 words, typed them up, cut them up, put them in a jar, and that's become our ritual at creative writing workshop. It's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about the background of the students that come into the program. What sort of backgrounds do they have? Some specifics there, please.
I think that maybe a common thread might be trauma. We span all races. Our ages are from 13 to 19. Some have been labeled criminals and are coping with that. Some have backgrounds that they haven't told us about, but they've let us know how they want to express themselves. So we try to be available to whatever needs they might have.
Mm-hmm. Are they usually open to talking about these times, or
not always?
Not always.
Sometimes they'd rather paint about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. So that comes out in the art. The frustrations, the roadblocks, the challenges that they've met in life comes out in painting or music or writing.
Absolutely. We have some songwriters that have just sung their past and their present to us, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. What type of artwork, what type of painting do you see that really stands out in your memory?
We did one exercise a few weeks ago where we asked our youth to think about colors in a different way than color theory. What's your happy color? What's your sad color? Then we talked about shapes, and we just did an abstract painting workshop about how our emotions affect each other or how they work in our lives, and boy, that was telling.
Mm-hmm. Telling in what way?
Oh, I think of one youth who created this amazing rainbow background with a beautiful bear tree in the foreground, and what that tells us about her life, as opposed to the youth who mixed all the colors together, made a purplish brown, and then kind of just smeared it everywhere.
Hmm. John Mark, you're a mentor, not only the executive director, but you're an artist mentor. You teach piano to students. Tell us a little bit about the experiences you've had there.
Piano and voice. Yeah, it's an amazing sort of situation. You know, I come from a classical voice and piano background, and really what we do is kids come in, they say, you know, I want to sing this song by Beyonce or whoever it is, and then I say, let's figure it out, and we work on it, and we really focus on being driven towards performance. Like, we have a performance coming up next month. Giving them this opportunity, these kids are just so talented, mm-hmm. and it's amazing to just give them opportunity to get in front of people and perform. They don't have that elsewhere. So,
mm-hmm. Do you think, John, that this is a sort of a gap that is not filled by the curriculum offered by our public schools, for instance?
I think for the most at-risk youth, it is a gap. I think that our youth, especially ones that are in alternative schools, I'm not saying they don't have opportunity, but we're so focused on that end goal of graduation, which we have that focus too. But oftentimes the opportunity for music and art is just completely left out, which is really sad to me because whereas some of these kids struggle in math and reading and science, they have this incredible talent that, you know, they deserve to be front stage and to be empowered by that. And I think that empowerment can really lead to being successful in school. At least that's what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. John, so if I'm understanding you correctly, once a student, you know, has some troubles, is considered at risk, the school system kind of just says, okay, let's approach the student, get this person. And it's logical, the basics for surviving in this world, for getting a job. And, yeah. And then that's where the arts then are left behind.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, I don't want to put down the area schools because they do a really good job trying to find opportunities. But a lot of the youth that we serve hit that point where it's, you know, do or die. You've got to get to graduation, and then that becomes the sole focus.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite story of a student that you've mentored in piano and or voice?
Yeah, well, there is one kid that comes to mind. I can't use his name, but I'll call him John. He actually came to our program while he was in Polk County Juvenile Detention. We did a workshop there, and then we followed him to shelter. He was an amazing pianist, musician, breakdancer, screen printer, visual artist, just all around that artist ethos. And he stayed with us for almost 2 years, staying engaged and interested in our programs. He went to shelter, then went to a foster family, and things didn't go so well in the foster family. And so he went back to shelter and actually ended up running away from shelter. And just a few weeks before he was supposed to graduate, he was considered a dropout because he was out of shelter. There was a pickup order. And we actually were able to reach out to him, get him reengaged with school, with the system, with his lawyer. And he graduated because of that connection. That is to say that we have that one thing in common, that love for art that brings us together. And we're able to leverage the relationships we build through art to help them to succeed in school and be successful. And that kid, actually, I just talked to him the other week, and he is moved into UNI and studying graphic design. And, you know, that's the dream for us. We want to see these kids go on to do amazing things beyond that, you know, diploma they get in their hand.
Wow, it sounds like Art Force Iowa has really made a difference in that individual's life. DJ, you're a student who's worked with Art Force Iowa since, for about a year. How would you say the atmosphere there is different from school?
It's a lot more friendlier. You're not dealing with as much drama as a regular school. And with all of that, it's just like, it's more of kind of like a second family.
Hmm. Is part of the help there that you know you're with students who have run into some barriers, had some challenges, or at risk, as I guess as we say there. Does that help that you can come in there and be at least have that in common?
Some ways it does, some ways it doesn't. It just depends on like the vibes you get from somebody, and I can really sense those, like if they're good or bad, and I just stay away from the people that have bad vibes and all that, and it just gets me a better way into thinking.
Mm-hmm. How many friends have you made at Art Force Iowa, DJ?
I made friends with all the mentors and some of the kids that I know, and some of the kids actually go to school with me, so I can interact with them at Art Force and at school.
Let's talk a little bit about the refugee program before this is newly launched. Yvette, would you help us out? A new program to help refugee and immigrant students. Tell us how you're reaching out there.
Well, we're reaching out primarily through the schools. We're looking at ELL teachers and counselors and other support staff in the schools to help us find these youth. We're really looking for immigrants and refugees who are struggling. They're survivors of trauma. They might not be integrating well into their classrooms. They might have no English skills. We're really looking to find them.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any come through the door?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what have you found? What are the cases there? You've found some young people with, if they've experienced trauma in their homelands.
Oh, I find that they love music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're hearing music from other countries? What, for instance, can you name the countries?
Oh, my goodness. Bhutan, Vietnam, Congo, name some more, John Mark.
Burma,
Thailand, Cambodia, Laos.
Mm-hmm. John, tell us a little more about the refugee program. What is the specific goal there? It's just are these refugees and immigrants that are identified also sort of in that at-risk category?
Yes, I think you could say that. Really, what we wanted to do was take our current programming and say, you know what, where delinquency is on the decline, we don't need more programming for that population. Let's take that supportive arts-based family and duplicate it for these youth that are struggling with assimilation and struggling sort of with integration and all that stuff. So the hope is really, and the goals for the program are to see increased quality of life through sort of a Gallup-style survey at the beginning and middle and end. And then we're also keeping an eye on their academic results. We want to see them making progress towards graduation. We want to see lower behavior reports and that sort of stuff. So we're really just looking at improving their lives through art, through that community that they might not have had, and also progress towards graduation.
Mm-hmm. Do you rule out helping them in other areas that don't include art? I mean, if a student there is struggling, does that somehow mesh or go hand-in-hand with the entire curriculum?
Absolutely. We really have a holistic approach to supporting our youth. We think of it as, you know, if you're their family, it's not just about, hey, come in for this great art workshop. It's about providing them the support they need to get to the workshop, helping them to tackle down barriers they're facing at school in the system. I mean, Yvette here goes into schools 2 or 3 times a week just to meet with kids and figure out what's going on. With our other programs, it leads us into juvenile detention and sometimes, you know, wherever we need to go to make sure that we're building those relationships. And then if there's something we're not capable of, you know, we're ready to refer to other supportive services, counseling, therapy. If a kid comes in and struggling with homework, we'll help them to do that. You know, we'll provide them the support that they need. Might go as far as, you know, taking a kid and picking them up and taking them to the grocery store so that they have some extra food when you know that they're dealing with hunger issues. We're really there for them 100%.
Mm-hmm. How do you know this is working? And, I mean, we're hearing anecdotally from you that it's working, but do you have concrete results to tell us?
Absolutely.
About the impact you're having?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
United Way has helped us a lot with that.
Right.
They've given us some performance measures so that we can collect data and manipulate it for many different purposes. We've seen very high engagement levels with our court-involved youth. The expectation was that we would engage perhaps 40 or 50%, and we're at about 75%.
Mm. And then another really exciting thing is just looking at recidivism. We've done a recidivism study 2 years in a row, and both years we saw ourselves at, you know, this year I think it's about 11% lower than the Polk County recidivism rate for youth. So we're actually seeing that our youth are reoffending at lower rates than common youth that are not in our programs.
Mm-hmm. When a student, a young person, goes to juvenile court, is that often something the judge will, I don't know, order or recommend as a pathway to a better life?
We certainly hope that they're not ordered to come to ArtForce.
Right. That would be something.
There have been some strong recommendations from judges, and juvenile court officers are really our number one line in our Creative Pathways program. They have really learned what ArtForce is about and how to talk to their youth about whether or not this program is right for them.
Yvette, when you go into the schools, what are you looking for when you go into the schools?
You have artists.
Artists, especially you have a better antenna than most, I bet. What specifically are you looking for in students? What tips you off that they may be a good candidate for ArtForce?
Oh, goodness. Overall levels of engagement, you know, sometimes you can see, like, the light bulb pop on over their head or the expression in their eyes changes. Or they decide that they're going to be in the back of the room because they need to be alone to write the most amazing poem they've ever written.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of different forms.
John, you've come across students that are really, really tough, sort of isolated themselves or somehow isolated, that don't open up immediately when exposed to the arts.
Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm. How do you approach that?
You know, it's really about, you know, as a mentor in any situation, you're along for the journey. So you build a supportive relationship with youth. You take advantage of what you have in common, which, you know, in my case as an artist mentor is singing and playing the piano. And little by little, you build that relationship. Hey, listen to this song that I heard this week. You're going to love it. Hey, how was your chemistry test? You know, carrying on that relationship from week to week when you see them. And then little by little, you start to hear more about the youth, their lives, and what's going on. And oftentimes, there are opportunities to jump in and really help.
Mm-hmm. So we've got just a minute or two left here. You're expanding your program. It's described how you're including some refugee and immigrant students. Do you have enough artist mentors?
We have quite a few artist mentors, but we're always looking for artists that are ready and willing to work with the demographics we serve.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how people can get in touch with ArtForce Iowa in case they'd like to find out more, possibly become a part of helping these young people.
Absolutely. I would say the Facebook page at ArtForce Iowa is a great place to check us out, as well as artforceiowa.org. There's a lot of information there, including a place where people can submit their information to be a potential volunteer or artist mentor. And just keeping an eye on our social media and Instagram is a great way to get a really honest feel for what's going on at our organization.
Mm-hmm. DJ, let's go to you. And I want to ask you, you really discovered the guitar at ArtForce Iowa. You're doing some creative writing. Are these things that you think will you'll follow through, develop through the rest of your life?
Yeah, I feel like if I get around to getting some time off from work and actually getting around to my guitar, I might actually get really good at it and put some effort into maybe doing a little gig every once in a while.
All right. Let us know about it. We can get the word out if you're going to be playing in an area coffee shop, DJ. We hope you will pursue that. Thanks for coming into our studio, DJ.
Thank you.
John Mark, thank you. Executive Director of ArtForce Iowa, Yvette Zarode-Herman, Program Director for ArtForce Iowa. John and Yvette, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much, Ben.
When we come back, Iowa Week continues, Artistic Iowa, the importance of art education this hour. When we come back, we'll focus on efforts to add the arts education to the Iowa core curriculum. It is not currently part of that. We'll hear from the chair of the Iowa Arts Alliance for Arts Education. And also, we'll meet the 2016 Iowa Teacher of the Year, Scott Slechta. That's when we return. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, kicking off Iowa Week, Artistic Iowa, the importance of art education, the focus for this hour. And in this second half hour, we're going to be talking about art education in our schools in Iowa. Joining us to do that, David Law, chair of the Iowa Alliance for the Arts Education. David Law, joining us by phone. Hello, David.
Hello.
Senator Herman Quirnbach with us from Ames by phone, chair of the Senate Education Committee, a Democrat from Ames. Senator Quirnbach, how good to have you on the program again.
Good afternoon.
And Scott Slechta in our Iowa City studio. Scott is the 2016 Iowa Teacher of the Year. He's a drama director, an English language art teacher in Fairfield. Scott, welcome to our studio in Iowa City.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. A big congratulations.
Thank you. Very honored, very humbled.
And you're off this year being an ambassador for teaching throughout the state. Let me start with you with our theme here. Give us your view on the importance of arts education.
Arts and education is one of my big platform issues, not only arts in the classroom but also as an extracurricular. Arts has a power to enable students to even grow beyond the academics. That's what I like about it. I've been a drama director for 35 years and a community theater director for 25. And it has a very powerful influence and impact on those students, whether they're kindergartners or, as I do community theater, they're 80 years old. It has a big impact.
Mm-hmm. Big impact, powerful. Give me some examples. Fill that out a little bit. Illustrate what you've seen over the years as a teacher to students who in other you know, science
sure.
courses and so forth, and math may be good, may mean less.
Here's what I can say. I used to coach basketball and track, and I know sports are powerful, too, for those students. But what I like about drama and the speech program that I've been a part of, no one sits on the bench. Everyone performs, whether they're on stage, backstage, in the light booth, helping with costumes, with PR, whether they're singing, whether they're dancing, whether they're in the orchestra. Everyone is doing something for the total good of the whole piece. I have those students who are the tech people, and they love the computer technology, and they run my lights. I have no skill that way, but they take it over, and they run the show, and they create wonderful effects. I can't sing or dance, but yet I have those performers that can do that. People that like to build, like to paint, like to create those sets, like to design the costumes. But what's good is they all work together. I have a diverse group of students who are in the drama program, very diverse, and there's people from all cliques within the school, but they all work together because they work. That's the key thing. They work together for the common good of a performance.
Mm-hmm. Do you see students who maybe were subpar or mediocre in their academic studies? Otherwise, they discover the arts and something takes on a greater importance. They perk up as an individual, blossom as an individual because of the arts.
It's their safe zone. It's their support group. It's their friends. It's their colleagues. They form a cohort beyond the academic world. Academics are important. I'll agree with that. But in drama, they can be transported to places beyond their imagination. We create Brigadoon. We create Dyer Van Frank, and they're in Nazi, you know, Holland. We do the Odyssey, and they're doing a Greek mythology piece. So they can transport themselves beyond the academic world through drama programs.
Join our conversation as we talk about this half hour. Arts education in Iowa in our schools. K through 12, I guess we're focusing in on 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, or leave your comment or question on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. David Law, chair of the Iowa Alliance for Arts Education. You're a retired band director, I understand. How many years did you put under your belt?
35.
Cedar Rapids Kennedy, Marion High School, finally at Mount Vernon Middle School. So you have a lot of experience, a lot of reflections on this. Tell us, how is arts education viewed in the state? How much support is there, have you seen over your 35 years?
On the local level, I think that it has improved and is absolutely outstanding because the Iowa Alliance covers everything from theater, drama, visual arts, mock trial, debate, those types of things are all under our umbrella. And the support has really gone up. Now, I don't think at the state level. I think that the local music boosters are very strong, or the local drama department is very strong. And so we've made inroads in that way. But at the state level, where we're a little bit remiss is 7 years ago, there was a study done that said conservatively, the arts in Iowa generate $70 million to the economy, and every dollar is spent three times. So we need that from an economic standpoint. It's not a frill. It's not an add-on. I've had students that have contacted me back 10 or 15 years after they've gone out and said, thank you for getting me ready for that all-state audition where we put in about 500 hours of preparation for a five-minute audition. It made me ready for this big board presentation I gave today for the home company.
So it translates over, not just for the arts. You can say this is how it feels to be well prepared for anything.
Exactly. What we teach are life skills. And I say this when I do honor bands. We don't teach the arts to make them artists. We don't teach the arts to make them arts educators. We teach the arts to make them human. And if you watch the nightly news, sometimes we need a few more humans in the world.
All right. Let's talk a little bit before we get to Senator Quirnbach about the Common Core state standards here in Iowa. David Law, they do not currently include the arts, the fine arts.
They do not. Originally, they were. It was said that they were part of the core. Then that kind of got drifted off to the side. We're working diligently with the State Board of Education. Senator Quirnbach is outstanding in his support. We have bipartisan support in the legislature to put the arts into the core, to put it into the code of Iowa. And that will be a huge step because once we have it in the code, we can do even more things for the students in Iowa, for the kids.
Mm-hmm. So what difference would that make, putting it in the core? Does that come attached to a certain amount of percentage of funding? Is that the problem? What actually would that benefit?
There's a lot of potential leverage there in terms of cutbacks, because sometimes it's viewed as a frill. If it's in the code and it has to be offered, then we have – and I'm president of my school board, and I can tell you that we would feel stronger about the arts if it was in the code, mm-hmm. in the core. And it is on the national level. We're one of the few states that is kind of relegating it back to – currently, I feel like we're in a little bit of a tennis match where we're sort of bouncing the ball between various entities.
So you would say Iowa's an outlier in the minority as far as putting the arts in its education lower down in priorities?
Yes, that's my understanding. And part of that has been laid at the doorstep of local control, although as a school board member, I wish we had more local control.
Mm-hmm.
But there are just things that, at the state level, once it's in the code of Iowa, then we have – options. We can move forward in a unified way for all the students across the state of Iowa, literally from river to river.
Mm. Senator Herman Kornbach, you are a Democrat from Ames, a chair of the Senate Education Committee. Tell us about the attempts to amend the Iowa core to include fine arts.
Well, we have had bills in the Senate both in 2014 and in 2015, that both of which passed the Senate, but the House did not take them up. In 2014, we started with a bill to put arts into the core curriculum, backed off a little bit because of some opposition. We're going to do a study for that, but then the House didn't go along even with the study. And in 2015, we passed Senate File 431 that did put arts and music and fine arts into the core. Again, the House did not take up our legislation. There is one good piece of information, though. In the budget that we passed this spring, there is money in the education budget for a fine arts mentoring program. It was a new appropriation of $25,000. And if you have any recollection of the budget this spring, there was very little new money for anybody. So, mm-hmm. so that was a small step forward. But I really do think we need to get arts into the core curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Senator Kornbach, you, of course, in the Senate, where the Democrats have a slim majority, the House, where this bill has been stopped in the hands of the Republicans. We reached out to lawmakers in the Iowa House of Representatives. Republican House Education Committee Chair Ron Jorgensen declined to be on this program, but he did give this statement, which I'll read. I do support arts education in Iowa, but my position has always been that including arts education as part of the Iowa core should be decided by the State Board of Education. It has been decided that they have the authority to do this, and I feel it is better to have them decide core curriculum issues rather than the legislature. The state board also decides the assessment vehicle for those standards. What about that approach, Senator Kornbach?
Well, I'm looking at the bill that we passed, and it copies the section that we currently have on the core curriculum. We have quite a few things that are already listed in the core that are established at the state level, health literacy, technology literacy, financial literacy. There's a goodly list here. So I see no problem for including arts into the core curriculum. It's no greater imposition to put arts in than to put any of these other fields in.
Okay, I guess the question here, to go back to Ron Jorgensen's comment there, that he feels it's better left to the State Board of Education rather than the legislature.
Well, again, the legislature at some time or another passed this language, the existing language on the core curriculum. So, we've been there, done that.
Okay.
I don't know that I necessarily want the state board to go off on its own. There are different ways of getting things done. I think that if the legislature wants to pass it, the state board will implement it, and then we'll have those standards.
Mm-hmm. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, the place of arts education, support for arts education in our schools. Scott Lechta is the 2016 Iowa Teacher of the Year. Tell us a little bit about the difference that the arts have made in your life. You've come up, you know, grown up, if I may say that, come to be a mentor to many, many students here in Iowa, made a real difference as a drama director, English language art teacher in Fairfield.
What I can
recall
say
a little bit about that.
I'm from a Western Iowa small town, farm boy, and I had a dynamic teacher in high school that sort of got me interested in drama. She's still over in Council Bluffs. At Simpson College, I was involved in the drama programs there, and it became more of a hobby, more of an interest, more... I like the ability to create, to orchestrate, and to see all these fine pieces fit together. It's like someone dumped a puzzle box on the tabletop. I've got the cover. No one else does until the last week of production. So I like to manipulate those pieces, put them together, and have people just kind of trust me that it will be a finished picture by the end
of
the
year. You have a lot of students, I bet, at the beginning that are just overwhelmed. How is this ever going to be presentable?
And we break the rehearsals apart. We do things out of sequence. We'll do costumes at one point, get those done, and then we'll do something like the set, and then we'll finally do some rehearsals, put it together that way. And finally, it does work out both at the, you know, I've done that at the high school level, and I've done that at the community theater level. And I can say, I can see... As we're talking, the importance of drama and the programs and the performance arts, visual arts, those things, they all fit into the 21st century skills of education. Students communicate, students collaborate, students think critically, and students think creatively. So whether you're in art class, whether you're in band or choir or the drama program, you are doing 21st century real life skills in any kind of finished performance or product that you do.
David Law, we've heard about the lack of, I guess, a state incorporating the arts into the Iowa core here. To what degree, it seems to be a partisan issue when you think about the path it's taken and how it's been stopped. Is this a partisan issue?
I would defer to Senator Kornbach on that. I'm a registered independent, and I prefer to stay that way. But what I will say is that we're getting increased partnerships all over the state from business leaders who understand the value of the well-rounded person, the employee that they can get, or people that have an arts background. They're no longer looking for a person that has that perfect SAT score and did nothing else. Colleges are looking for the background, for the roundedness, for you know, what we used to call a liberal arts education. And so I see a lot of good things coming outside, and my concern is that the state, if they're not careful, is just simply going to be, we'll have an end run with business partnerships and schools. And my school district is very, very aggressively pursuing every kind of partnership that we can get. And we're listening to the business community, and they are emphatic about well-rounded, arts-related, learning how to work with a team, also learning how to work as an individual, all the things that arts provide extremely well.
So Senator Kornbach, if we hear there that how the communities have really been stepping up to plate the businesses in the communities say this is absolutely essential for individuals in whatever capacity for our future communities, what is the way to bring together the House and the Senate and get something to the governor?
Well, I tell you, Scott in his opening remarks said something about this as part of his platform. I was kind of hoping that meant he was running for office, because we could sure use a few more people in the legislature who understand the importance of the arts. You know, I just don't think it should be a partisan issue. I don't see any reason for that. Educating the whole human being is very important. It can help some kids who've gotten off the track get back on the track. I was listening to the first half of your program this hour. It teaches traits that even if you're not going to be an artist, I mean, it teaches you hard work, discipline, precision, teamwork. There are quite a few jobs in the arts. I mean, not just performing or selling your own art, but, you know, graphic design. Go over to Meredith Publications in Des Moines. They hire a lot of people in those kinds of areas. You know, advertising agencies, newspapers, radio stations, people all the way up and down the line have job openings for people who have arts-type backgrounds.
Okay, Senator Kornbach, tell us a little bit about your early arts education. What do you remember taking away from that, or what did you latch onto in the early years?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see, I had a year of piano lessons in third grade, but then we moved away from our teacher. I started playing the French horn in fifth grade and played all the way on through college and a couple of years on beyond. And I had no particular talent, I can tell you that. But, you know, I worked hard at it. I enjoyed it. You know, and I still have a lot of friends from times when I played in the marching band in college and band in high school. You know, I have a much greater appreciation for the arts because I've participated in it. You know, I have a brother who's a theater major, runs an auditorium for a community college in another state. So it really does, if you can get hold of people at a young age and expose them to the arts and unleash their creative potential, who knows where that can go. Lots of positive directions.
Okay, give us your prediction for the arts in the legislature in 2017 when the next session starts in January.
Oh, that's hard to do. I mean, you know, we have an election coming up, you know, and elections matter. So my advice to your listeners, go to your candidate forums. Every member of the Iowa House is up this year, half of the Senate. Ask the candidates about arts education. Ask them about including it in the core. Ask them about state standards. Ask them about general funding. Those are the kinds of questions that are very legitimate to ask of candidates for office. And, you know, if arts is a priority for you, then convey that impression to the candidates.
Okay. Scott Slecta, let me end with you. We've got a couple minutes left. How long have you been enjoying, well, your time off teaching? I know you love teaching, but time off is good. You're sort of an ambassador for teaching in Iowa. What have you been up to and since when?
I actually became involved January of last year. I was formally recognized November 5th of 2015, began some duties January, formally recognized March 22nd, and then began my actual ambassadorship June 22nd. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing things statewide at the college level. I've been able to go from river to river in the state, and I've been able to go through some invitation opportunities from ocean to ocean. I've been over at North Carolina, and I've been up to Oregon. The best part is just being able to take everything I've done in the classroom with my students, with whether in the classroom or whether on the stage, my colleagues, and share some knowledge with my colleagues, with my peers, with college professors, with recruiters, things like that. So it's been a great experience.
Do you worry, you know, students who come from well-off families, if they want to pursue the arts, there's always that avenue. Do you worry that we're becoming sort of having a couple classes there, that we need to make sure that it cuts through all economic
I think arts reads all people, whether it's performance art, visual art. Everyone should get a chance to participate sometime in their life, either as a child, as an adolescent, as an adult, either on stage or backstage, or just attend, see an art show, see a performance, see a dance recital, those sort of things. I always think that arts make humans humane. Arts make people civilized. They bring culture. They give us that aspect that's not normally there. So I think it's a very important tool for everyone to be using throughout their lives.
When you return to the classroom, your normal classroom duties in Fairfield, how will you be a changed teacher having had this year off to be an ambassador for teaching in Iowa?
I'll have a bigger picture of things. That's one thing I've been able to really gain. I'm inside my classroom walls, and we do collaborate. We do share things with my colleagues. But to get a bigger picture of things nationally, there's some things we have in Iowa that I just take for granted, and I talk to my friends across the nation, and it's like...
An example or two to throw out?
Some states don't have dual enrollment classes. Some states don't have a mentoring program. And so those have been two of my big things that I've been involved with at Fairfield and in the state. As the facilitator for the mentoring program and as a dual enrollment teacher for Indian Hills.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Scott Slecta is the 2016 Iowa Teacher of the Year, drama director, English language arts teacher in Fairfield. Thanks for coming into our studio, Scott.
Thank you.
Senator Herman Kornbach from Ames, thank you for joining us, chair of the Senate Education Committee.
Appreciated it.
And David Law, chair of the Iowa Alliance for Arts Education. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All this month, we've been asking you to submit your line drawings, possibly part of the new Iowa Public Radio coloring book. Thanks to everyone who sent in a page. Your work is really incredible. We've been enjoying them here at Iowa Public Radio. We're working on which drawings will make the final book, and we want your help choosing a drawing that makes it on the cover of our coloring book. So online voting is now available. You can find a link to the candidates for the cover on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, search for Iowa Public Radio. You can also find a link to the voting on Twitter at Iowa Pub, IPR Talk. So please do that. Weigh in on all the wonderful coloring book entries we have. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.